Well, good morning again. It's great to see you. Why don't you just turn to the person next to you and wish them a happy 2016 if you haven't already? Just want to pause also and say how wonderful it is to see Femi and Maria and family back with us from Gibraltar. We missed you guys. Welcome home. Make sure you go and catch up with those guys. For those of us who know them, it'll be really great just to see how they're doing and to help them to reintegrate smoothly into life back here in Chelmsford and the UK, which I'm sure is a bit of a shock to the system, especially the climate. It's got a little bit colder, hasn't it? Now, this morning, I'm super excited about what I'm going to be bringing because, as you know, we are launching as Skylark Church officially on Saturday. For me, as we stepped into 2016, I felt like we are embodying that thing. So I'm already there. But for those of us who like to wait for official deadlines, Saturday is going to be the day. And what I want to do this morning is actually to bring again that message about the Skylark, about that encounter that Pete and I had at the top of a very large hill in Scotland and how that impacted us, but also actually about the different attributes of a Skylark, about the reasons why this name is a prophetic name and a significant name. And I have a sense as we've prayed into this coming year that actually this name change is more significant than any of us know. And even Pete and I just feel that there's so much significance resting on this change. We're kind of standing on the precipice of something incredible that God is about to do, and we're naming the thing that we have become, but also we're speaking out destiny. We're speaking out where we're going together as a church family, as a group of believers, and it's going to have an impact on our city, on our nation, and on our world. So we're super excited about that. You know, the story begins in Scotland in March. I think it must have been 2012. And Pete and I were in a year of transition. It was before we knew that we were going to be leading CGC Chelmsford. We had no idea what was next. But the place that we found ourselves in was a place of real confinement. We just knew that change was coming, but we couldn't exactly grasp what it was. And you know, when you're in that place, you feel really uncomfortable. You feel as though you're wearing a pair of shoes that's too small for you. And that's really how it felt. And you know what that's like? Come on, girls. Most of us have done it. I am not the queen of sensible footwear. So I have worn many a pair of shoes that are slightly too small, and it leaves you with blisters and aching feet, and you just can't wait to take those shoes off. That's kind of how we found ourselves. But there was also a level of brokenness in us too. You know, this beautiful thing that we call church, this body of people that we have fallen in love with so deeply, also has the capacity to hurt each one of us greatly. That's the truth of it. That's because church is full of imperfect people. If you look around you, you know, there are some incredible people in this room. There are some precious, valuable people in this room. But we also somehow have that capacity to tread on each other's toes, to rub each other up the wrong way. And we had just been through a little stretch of time where it had been painful for us. And we found ourselves smarting from this thing that we'd invested our lives into that we call church. And so we took ourselves away because We're life speakers, Pete and I. That's part of our DNA. It's part of the DNA of CGI, the network that we're in. And we didn't want to sit and talk to other people about what we were feeling, because actually we didn't feel that would be helpful for them or for us. We knew that we needed to get some perspective, and we needed to sit with God, and we needed to hear what He had to say over our situation, over our brokenness, and over some of the disappointments that we were carrying. So I would say it was a point of make or break in our faith journey. It was a crossroads. It was a moment where we had choices in front of us, and we took ourselves away. And for the first couple of days, we actually couldn't even pray. That's where we found ourselves. We were so broken, and we were in so much pain that words just wouldn't come. But we could sense that God was with us, even in that brokenness and in that despair. And then about day 3 or 4, we began to talk together. And we began to feel as though we could start a conversation with God. You know, pain, trials and suffering, they're part of the Christian journey. God may not send them, but he uses them and he redeems them. He's always working on and shaping our heart and our relationship with him. So we found ourselves confined in this place of confinement. We felt limited. We felt like trees that were just trapped behind a glass cube. And we just wanted to unfurl our branches and break out of that place of confinement. Psalm 124, verse 7 says this: "We escaped like a bird from a hunter's trap. The trap is broken and we are free." You know, we live in a world where many people live permanently in a place of confinement. I don't know about you, but I only have to spend time with colleagues, with people outside, with my family, and I realize that we just carry so much confinement in our hearts. Even if we don't have circumstances in our lives that are confining us, we often choose to live in a place that's boxed in. And when I look at our city, one of the first things that I think is this: there's freedom that needs to come over hearts and lives in this city. There are people who are trapped in awful circumstances. There are people who are trapped in emotional pain, in mental pain, in physical pain and torment, who are looking for a way out. And you and I, we sit inside this beautiful, comfortable church, and we hold the keys in our hands. Right? So here we are in our own place of confinement. And we had this incredible encounter. And the first part was actually me on my own. I went to take the rubbish out. And the place that we were staying was set on a little hill. And it was a really long driveway because it was a working farm. So we had to walk a long way to take the rubbish out. And I was taking the rubbish out and I was just chatting to God. And as I did, all of a sudden, you know how Holy Spirit just comes and speaks to you really gently, just in that moment where you need to hear it most? There I am, carrying this big rubbish sack, and I felt God say, "You have a choice. You have a choice. As you take this rubbish out, I want you to leave behind all your hurt, your offense, your brokenness, your pain, all of those things that hold you back. I want that to go into that rubbish as you throw it away, and I want you to walk back free." And he began to show me all of the places where the enemy had held my heart captive. And he showed me that really it was an assassination attempt on the very essence of who I was, who I was called to be, who God had made me to be. And when God speaks to you, it's different from academically telling yourself that you need to do that. I 100% knew that that's what I needed to do. So as I put the rubbish out, I began to pray. And I named all of those things. And I was there quite a long time. And I left them. And as I walked back, I felt this burden lift. And then I heard God say, "I'm so proud of you. You know, when I look at you, I see myself in you." And that's something that I would never say about myself, if I'm honest. I wouldn't say, "Hey, everybody, I exude Jesus." I don't feel like that most days. I don't know if you do. Maybe you get up and you feel like, "Yes, I'm God's gift to the planet today." I don't wake up necessarily feeling that way. But for God to actually say, "I see myself in you," was such a profound moment. It was life-changing. And I walked back with tears in my eyes and with a heart that felt free. So the next day, Pete and I decide that we're going to worship all the way up the hill at the back of this house. We are nutters, right? We do this kind of thing on a regular basis. It's not unusual in our house. We have a song for everything. We make up songs for most things. Simple tasks are done to crazy, not very inspired songs. But on this particular occasion, we were thinking about the Psalms of Ascent and how the people of Israel would sing as they processed to meet with the Lord. And we felt, God, we are believing for an encounter at the top of this hill. So we determined that we would worship all the way up. It was difficult, right? Because it was quite a steep incline. And we were fairly out of breath. And we did pass some people who probably thought we were mad. But we just kept on singing. And the thing that was on our heart is, God, when we get to the top, we're going to be still and we're going to listen and we want to hear from you. What would you have us do? Right? That was it. What's next? What do you want us to do for you, God? We're just laying everything down. We'll do whatever you ask us. So up we go. And we get to the top of this hill. And it's March in Scotland. It is blue sky as far as the eye can see. There isn't a cloud in the sky. The sun is out. It was absolutely amazing. And you could look all the way around. You could see the sea in one direction. You could see more hills in the other direction. It was amazing. And we decide to lay on the grass. And we're just laying there just, oh God, we just can't wait to hear what you're going to say to us. And all of a sudden we hear this sound. It's really loud and it's beautiful and it's captivating birdsong. But boy, was it irritating because we were trying to hear from God. And all we could hear was this bird singing. And Pete even said, Lord, will you make this bird stop? I'm trying to hear from you. And then I said, babe, maybe God wants to speak to us through the bird. Ding, light bulb moment. And we watched this bird. And actually, there were two of them. And I do really bad bird impressions, but I have to do them so that you get the gist, okay? So here we go. So first of all, the bird would be flapping its wings really, really hard, okay? As it just began to soar higher and higher and higher, but it was working really hard. And the whole time, this mesmerizing, loud, beautiful, piercing song was taking place. And then the bird would unfurl its wings, and as it circled the sun, it was so distant you almost couldn't see it. It would unfurl its wings and just begin to soar amazingly, no longer working hard, still singing. And then a moment would come where it would tuck its little wings in, and it would bomb down to the ground, still singing the whole time. And God began to say, that's who I've made you to be. That's who you are in the kingdom. I want you to raise up a generation of worshippers who will find a song in every season, whether they are working hard, whether they are soaring and circling the sun, or whether they are on an exhilarating adventure down to the ground. That is who you are called to be. And I want you to raise up an army who will do the same. Wow, it was so significant. There we were just watching. And by the time we left that mountain, there were loads of these skylarks. And we didn't know they were skylarks. I was praying and I was like, Lord, what bird is it? And I felt him say skylark, but I know nothing about birds. So I didn't feel confident enough to say that to Pete. So we took a photo. One of the birds was on the ground, just took a photo. And we looked it up in the house when we got back. And sure enough, they were skylarks. But the thing that really strikes me first and foremost is this. There was a freedom about that skylark. Soaring, freewheeling. That song in every season, this sense of abandonment. A total understanding of who it was designed and created to be. You know, a bird doesn't wrestle with doing. It doesn't think about what it's called to do. It just is. There's an innate understanding. And that struck me so much because, you see, Pete and I, we'd come up that mountain asking God the question, what do you want us to do next? But he didn't answer that question. And he didn't answer it because he knew that our nature is to be very activity driven. And so instead he said, I'm going to cut to the core. This is who you are. This is who I've made you to be. And I want you to reproduce yourself into the lives of others. How incredible. Birds don't strive. They're not dictated to. They're happy. They're free. I love Matthew 16, verses 15 to 19. Jesus asked them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You didn't learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." So often we allow our circumstances or other people in our life to define us. We arrive at a place where we're jaded and we're labeled. We live in a city where people are walking around metaphorically with labels plastered all over their forehead that the world has placed upon them. But God wants to define us. Just as he defined us in that moment where he spoke into the very essence of who we were called to be. Just at that point where we felt we wanted to burst, like those trees stuck in a glass box, something had to give. It was a defining moment for us. And I believe that as we step into this season as Skylark Church, we are going to be agents that bring that same God who wants to bring definition to hearts and lives, to many who just need to take the labels off once and for all, who need to walk free and understand that it's not about what they do or working harder or striving more or being on this treadmill that never takes you anywhere so you can't enjoy the scenery. It's about stepping into a life-changing, incredible, loving, unfailing, beautiful, exciting, exhilarating adventure with a God who will never let us go. So God spoke to us through these birds, these skylarks. They had a song in every season. As we looked them up in bird books, and I'm going to talk about this more, we found that they were leaders of the dawn chorus, that they're amongst the first birds to announce the break of day. There's that sense of a new dawn rising. Do you feel it? I feel it across our nation, an awakening. I just feel that people are waking up in the spirit. And it starts in here with those of us who know and love God. It's possible for us just to fall asleep, you know? It's possible for us just to sit down and stagnate. But God is reactivating us, and he's asking us to be ones who will look at the black backdrop, this vast expanse of black that we see before us, and just like these beautiful little light bulbs, to pierce that darkness with the light and hope of the world, whose name is Jesus Christ. You see, there's something fearless and prophetic about our skylark, because he lifts his voice while it's still dark. I love that, because to me it speaks of faith. You don't lift your voice and announce the dawn unless you are 100% confident that it's coming. And when you just look at black and you cannot see anything else, you would look crazy to say it's coming. There's no reason to think it would, and yet sure enough, day after day, as that cacophony of birdsong lifts its voice, dawn breaks. And against that black backdrop, the first rays of the sun appear, and then it begins. It takes faith. It takes courage. There's an audacity about that skylark, because he's small, but he's intrepid and he's fearless. And he basically says, "I can see it. It's on its way. Don't lose heart. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up. I know you've been through a lot, but sure as anything, the dawn is about to break over our nation and over our world, because God is here." Wow. I love that. You know, there's a song written by Emily Sandé, and it's a song that has changed my life. I feel it is a prophetic song for the church. I know she didn't write it in that capacity, but I'm telling you, the words and the lyrics to this song stir my spirit every time I hear it, and I'm just going to read you a couple. "You've got the words to change a nation, but you're biting your tongue. You've spent a lifetime stuck in silence, afraid you'll say something wrong. If no one ever hears it, how are we going to learn your song? So come on, come on, come on, come on." Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a picture of the church? You see, God has given us words that can change lives. He's given us his word. Word that has the power to cut through every atmosphere, to cut through the hardest of hearts, to penetrate the darkest of situations. And yet so often, church, if we're honest, we bite our tongue. Skylarks, they just keep announcing. They just keep announcing that dawn until they see it break. And that is who we are called to be as a church, my friends, to be ones who, instead of biting our tongue, find an endless stream of words, a cacophony of praise to our God, who begin to say, no, not on my watch. This isn't happening. Human trafficking? I don't think so. The care system, the care crisis in our nation. No, we don't want to see that happen. What we want to see is every child cared for in a place of safety. And many, many more issues that we look at and think we could do something about this. That is that same intrepid, faith-filled expectancy that we can do something different. The other thing that I feel about Skylarks is that they are aligned. They're perfectly aligned. And this is probably the thing that excites me most. You see, in Matthew 6, verse 10, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus himself prayed, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Poets have written about skylarks, and because of their capacity to ascend to such great heights, and because of the fact that they nest in the ground and not on trees, which is really significant, they have been likened to a connection point between heaven and earth. And for me, I just think, come on, because that's what God's church is called to be. You see, we're called to soar in the heights, but not so much that we're of no earthly use to other people. It's no good us having the song of heaven and no one ever hearing that song. It's no good for that song to be lost in translation. We have to be connected with people here on earth. We have to be passionate about loving and engaging with the people that God brings into our lives and into our circumstances and into our city. And so the skylark is the most incredible picture of heaven and earth colliding, because the bird captures the melody of heaven and soars to great heights. But instead of nesting in trees where it's slightly lofty and superior, this bird chooses to nest on the ground. That's dangerous. That leaves it exposed and vulnerable. I'm so glad about that, aren't you? I don't want to be lofty or superior. The world is sick of a church that points its finger from the safety and from the distance. It's sick of a church that thinks of itself as being superior and doesn't want to be contaminated. We've had enough of that. No, instead, we want a church that's prepared to get its hands dirty, that meets needs, that gets alongside other people, and that takes that supernatural song of heaven and brings it and grounds it into people's everyday reality. Naturally supernatural. Wow. That is exciting. You know, often we think that alignment is about doing exactly what we're called to do. But actually, I've come to understand that perfect alignment is less about doing what we're called to do. It's everything about being who we were designed to be. Miracles, signs, wonders. I believe that they'll come when we understand that the presence of God is not just a bolt-on, but it's the main event. That as we build a church that is centered around Jesus, about accessing Jesus through his word, through prayer, and through praise, as we place those things, ring-fence them as the most important thing in our lives and in our community, I believe that everything else will follow from there. Seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says this, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." We're designed to make a difference. We are uniquely and strategically designed to make a difference to the ends of the earth. What difference does that little skylark make? It ushers in the dawn. It connects heaven and earth. The supernatural invades the natural. It is part of seeing the dawn break. And no one can ever distinguish its individual voice. There's a sense of unity. There's a sense of working together. It's time for the dawn to break over our nation. That skylark may start almost alone when it sings, but before long it's joined by a cacophony of voices. It wakes up others and inspires them to sing. Others begin to join in the anthem of heaven. You are God's masterpiece. It's time to come out of confinement. It's time to defy the definitions that have been placed over you and hear how God defines you. It's time to align with heaven and change earth. So I want to take us through some specific attributes of this cool bird that I have come to love dearly. There it is. And I'm going to take you through, if you're a note-taking type, I want to encourage you to do that because I feel like this is really significant. I'm going to focus in on 10 things. So as we've already heard, according to the British Naturalist Association, it is apparent that birds such as skylark, song thrush, robin and blackbird invariably sing at the beginning of the dawn chorus, while birds such as the wren are always among the last to join in. The RSPB says, among the earliest to rise are skylarks, song thrushes, robins and blackbirds. Folks, I am not naturally an early riser. I'm going to be honest. Pete is the early riser in our household. He just seems to wake up and spring into action. I need to press the snooze button a few times and have a cup of tea before I make any intelligible sense. But in the spirit, this is who I want to be. I want to be an early riser. I want to be among those skylarks that join that dawn chorus, that initiate rather than catch up to the party. The skylark sings before sunrise while it's still dark. It's fearless. It's prophetic. It ushers in the dawn. It brings about an awakening. It calls what isn't into being as though it were. Wow! How awesome is that? A skylark is a connection point between heaven and earth. It's perfectly aligned. It blends into its surroundings until it flies and sings. It's naturally supernatural. Skylarks nest on the ground, as we heard. They're grounded in reality, yet they soar in the heavens. They're small and indistinct. There's nothing particularly noticeable about a skylark. It's not a big bird, and it's not particularly coloured. Why is that important? Well, to me, it gives me encouragement because it's ordinary. And if I look around this room, although I know each of you are exceptional in your own way, actually, we're just a bunch of ordinary people, aren't we, that God has taken and spoken to. There's nothing particularly to recommend any one of us on our own merits. I love that because this is true for the skylark too, but their song is extraordinary. It is captivating. It is loud. It is resonant. It is beautiful. It's the most complex bird sound of all, and I'll come on to that in a minute. Their distinctive and powerful song can be heard for miles around. It's a small bird, but it packs a punch. Don't you think that reminds you of this church? We're small, but we pack a punch. You know, Chelmsford is the birthplace of radio. That means that there was a sound that came from this city that resonated to the ends of the earth. And nobody ever really knows that it came from here, right? Apart from, you know, the occasional person on University Challenge. Most people don't know. They're not aware that Chelmsford is the birthplace of radio. But that says to me that there is a mandate over this city. There is a sound that God wants to unlock that is going to be a sound that awakens this nation and the nations. That's why we put praise and worship so high on our agenda here. That's why we write our own songs, and we're going to do more of that this year. I'm saying that in faith, and I'm making a commitment. Okay, I'm talking to myself here. We're going to do it. Why? Because there's a mandate over us to allow that fresh sound, that sound of revival, that sound of change, that sound of kingdom, that sound that breaks chains and looses oppression, that is going to rise from this place. We may be small and we may be ordinary, but we partner with an extraordinary God. They sing continuously as they fly, and they usually soar to very great heights in the sky, up to 100 meters. They're relentless about their song. I love that too. They don't give up. They're tenacious. There's this song in every season. And church, you know, let's be honest. There are weeks where we gather together and it feels like we're in a stadium and everyone's going for it and all of the angels are joining us. But there are weeks where we're up against it and we're all a bit tired and it sounds a little bit less tenacious. Our challenge this year is to find that song in every season, to know that our God is with us, whether we're walking through the valley or whether we're on the mountaintop. And you may find that just a tiny sound emerges. That's cool. It's not about volume. It's about heart position before God. It's about the fact that your spirit is still singing, even when darkness is all around you. Skylarks sing to show that territory is inhabited and to mark out and lay claim to it. I think that's massively important. You see, we've been saying for a few years now that we're believing for territory in the city centre so that we can change lives, so that we can begin to impact our community in even greater measure. And we are singing to lay claim to that territory that God is giving us. Each of us have ground that we are able and designed to take. You know, when I was a teacher, I used to come into my classroom every morning and I'd get into school really early and I would anoint my door with oil, and that was my way of saying, this is God's territory. This is Holy Spirit territory. And as those young people enter through the doors, I want them to be blessed and I want them to be affirmed in who they are. And I want them to meet with a God that is good through my teaching capacity. Now, you know, you can underestimate that at times and just think you're doing what you do. But you know what? The skylark marks its territory with that song. I want to encourage us this year, wherever God has placed you, you are not wasted there. You're not biding time until you can do the real stuff. God has placed you. He sent you there. Mark out your territory. Begin to delineate that which God has given you, and you will see change come. Skylarks have a small, cute crest that they raise when they're alarmed or when they're excited. Now, I like that particularly because if you know Pete and I, we're more on the Tigger than the Eeyore end of the spectrum in life. So if we get good news, we do genuinely jump up and down or dance around the living room or do a little victory dance. We are on the excitable end. So is our skylark here. When he's excited, his little crest comes up. But also when he's alarmed, and I think this is important because as we move forward as Skylark Church, we are going to need discernment. We can't do this on our own. As we begin to get our hands dirty, we go into our city and we get alongside people who are hurting and broken. We're going to need God to give us that discernment so that we know the right words to speak, so that we have the right ministry in order to meet need, so that we allow ourselves to be influencers and not influenced, okay? It's important for us to have that discernment from heaven, to be tapping into the Holy Spirit so that we know that we are not just following and pursuing our own good idea or our own good vision, but that actually we're in line with God. Skylarks are creative. This amazed me because you can't tell from listening to it, but there is apparently almost no repetition in their songs. I watched a fascinating wildlife program which featured skylarks, and one of the most complex sounds is made by this bird. It's composed of syllables, consecutive sounds produced in a complex way with almost no repetition. Each individual skylark song is slightly different. How cool is that? I love that because I think that's true about us here. We are not producing a cookie cutter church. We don't want you to look like the next person. You have your own unique call. God has defined you. And so actually, it's cool that your song should be different from the next person's song. That's how we're designed. We are unified, but we have room for diversity in that. And we want for your God colors to shine and to shine more brightly. Each individual skylark song is different. A male skylark can sing more than 300 different syllables. That's impressive, isn't it? 300 different syllables. To me, it sounds like they're just singing the same thing, but apparently not. That speaks to me of life and creativity. You see, we have a God who spoke the word into existence, the world, sorry, into existence with his word. He is an innovative, creative God. And when things come from his mouth, they accomplish. Isn't that awesome? We have that same capacity with the words that come from our mouth, with the metaphorical song that comes from our heart. We can change the atmosphere. Creative, innovators. I believe that this church is going to pioneer some very significant things. I believe that there are initiatives, there are songs, there are ideas, there are ministry areas that are going to come out of this church that are going to be pioneering. Innovative, tapping into that creativity from heaven. Why should we allow the world to steal all the greatest stuff? You know what? God will raise up people to do it. We need to tap into the creativity of heaven. And a word of warning here, because most people don't like pioneers, because we don't naturally like change. I'm really blessed that we're not in a church like that. I just watched the way our church responded to the name change, and I felt so... oh, just so amazed and so encouraged that you guys have just embraced that. It's just going to be the first thing of many, because I have a feeling that God is going to raise up pioneers in our midst, doing all sorts of incredible things in health, in education, in entertainment and the media, in the arts, in education, in church spheres, in business, in finance, in family. How awesome. And no one may ever know our name for that. But we serve an innovative God. He's always doing something fresh. And if we tap into the creativity of heaven, we will effect change here on earth. Finally, the skylark is in decline. Due to intensive farming, it's under threat. And that speaks to me of an endangered species. There was a headline I found online that says this: UK dawn chorus hard to hear. Ow. Listen, church, we've got the words to change a nation, but we're biting our tongue. We've spent a lifetime stuck in silence, afraid we'll say something wrong. But if no one ever hears it, how are they going to learn the song of heaven? So come on. Come on, come on, come on. It's our time. This is our time to arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. We are going to breed skylarks in this place, because if they're an endangered species, that tells me one thing: the world needs more. And it's not good enough to say that on our watch, the church just fizzled out and lost its influence, lost its voice, lost its impact. We don't want the UK dawn chorus to be hard to hear. We want a sound to emerge from this church, from this city, from this nation that has impact to the ends of the earth. And you know, the sound of the kingdom, it can be a loud resonant sound, or it can be a gentle, stealthy sound. But when it comes, its fruit is always the same. It brings salvation. It brings healing. It brings forgiveness and kindness. It tells people that they are loved, that they are accepted, that they are affirmed, that they have a God who is for them and not against them. It's the sound of chains dropping. It's this cry of freedom and victory. It's a sound of every good thing that our God in heaven intended for us from the beginning. That's the sound that we are called to carry. And as we make his presence our home, as we connect heaven and earth, I believe that Skylark Church is going to be responsible for hearts and lives changed unimaginably forevermore. And there will be people standing in heaven that we will see because you and I had the courage to find our voice and to be who God has called us to be. Could we stand together? Could I have the worship team, please? So here we go, 2016, the start of a new year. As we heard earlier, the opportunity to put to rest and set aside some of the obstacles and the things that have held us back. I want to invite us this morning as a church to respond to the new season that God has ahead of us. And I know that every year we talk about a new season and we can become cynical and a bit jaded about that. But I know that we are experiencing change like never before. And that God is about to do something unprecedented in our midst. And I want to be part of that. I want to be part of what he's doing. And I want to encourage you to be the same. So I want to invite us to respond today. And very simply, this morning, if you think, you know what, God, I want to step into Skylark Church. I want to step into who you're calling me to be. I want to step into all that you have in this coming season. I just want to invite you just to raise your hands, just as a sign to God. I'm not going to call you forward. Yeah. And then very simply, what we're going to do is this. We're going to allow that sound of heaven to break over us. We are going to capture the sound and the melody of heaven this morning. And yes, that's going to mean using our voice, church. Okay? Just to warn you. But I believe that there is a sound that God wants to release over us today. Because if no one ever hears it, how they're going to learn the song of heaven. We've got to capture it first. Let's ask Holy Spirit to give us that song. Let our life be a love song of worship to Jesus. Why don't we lift our voices? Suyana nama suraya, siyana shuraya, daya, daya.